pray together. Father, we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name that today, Lord God, we would extract out of this time together the most important thing, and that is our worship of you and our singing, our praise. And Lord, it's that combo of worshiping you in song and worshiping you in the word, worship you in our giving. But Father, I pray that at the end of this message, when we leave here today, each and every one of us would be stronger in our faith and more bold in our faith because we worship the risen, living Savior, Jesus Christ, and there is no other. There will never be any other. That He's the one and only, and we're going to see why and how that's true. And that today, if anyone is sitting on the fence regarding where they're at with you, Lord, that you would shake the fence. Lord, that everyone in this room today would make a decision. Some yes, some no. But may there be no gray area maybes. So, Father, I pray. And Lord, I pray right now for physical strength, just to get me through this message. I'm so excited about it. I'm already tired thinking about it. Father, we love you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, and this is our fourth and final installment on this message, this little mini-series that we're looking at entitled With This Mind. And we have deliberately taken a very slow, methodical step through these first four verses of 2 Corinthians 11. And you're going to see the reason why with this closing message. With this mind, it is a challenge for all of us as Christians to know Him in whom we worship, to know Him in whom we're living for. And listen, for some in the world, it may be upon us to know Him whom we're ready to die for as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding this, that authenticity is an attractive thing in any arena. People want authentic commitment. But there's nothing more powerful than to see the Apostle Paul, an authentic apostle, an authentic believer, a true Christian, arguing as to why the Corinthian church should give a greater devotion to God and how we in the 21st century need to be more committed to Jesus Christ. Listen, church, the real Jesus Christ more than ever. Because today there are more false Christs and false gospels and false spirits than ever before. And so today is going to be a message I trust that will challenge you. It's challenged me. And in our lives as believers, we need to take a big breath and fill our lungs with air so that we might pump our brains with O2 to think strong. Listen, today's going to blow some doors open regarding the Jesus of the cults. The Jesus of the deceivers. Who is He? And who are these coming to our doors or sending messages around the world propagating a different Jesus? You need to know that because the church in Corinth was inundated with a message of a different Jesus. It's vitally important. The Bible tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works both in you to will and to do of His good pleasure." And that's what God's purpose for you being here today in church is all about, that God might instill within you a greater understanding of His will and of His purpose for your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, follow with me. He says, "Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, a little foolishness, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you." Remember that. I have engaged you. I have committed you to one husband, that is Jesus Christ, that I might present you as a chaste virgin, pure and unadulterated by any other faith or religion or affection to Christ. Verse 3, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." You need to underline those words. Verse 4, he says, "For or because, number one, if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we've not preached, or number two, if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or three, a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Three key things that end out this mini-series. And I want you to focus now on our third and final installment. Church, write it down if you would. It's all in verse 4. With this mind, we look at this. Stronger faith breeds spiritual discernment. And if you've been with us through this series, you know these things. We started out in verses 1 to 3 regarding increasing joy leads to greater assurance. Verses 1 through 3. And then specifically at the closing end of verse 3, we looked at greater assurance leads to stronger faith. And now stronger faith breeds within us spiritual discernment. Will you write down the word discernment? This is vitally important. Christian, get this under your belt today. The Christian church today is suffering from a lack of discernment. Christians today need to be in the Word of God more than ever before and knowing what biblical doctrine is. And to do that, the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God as we've been preaching and teaching on, gives you the ability to discern. To discern, listen to this, it goes against political correctness and modern thinking. To discern is to parse out, to separate, to segregate, to be very careful about what you hear, and to judge it. Don't let somebody tell you that Christians are not to judge. We are commanded to judge. We are not allowed to condemn anyone, but we are to judge all things, says the Bible. Do you understand that? When somebody says, "Don't judge me, bro," that means we're not to condemn anybody. No one's got the authority to condemn somebody else. Are you with me? Do you understand that? But we are commanded to judge everything. We are commanded to parse, to separate, to discern, to bring something in light of the Bible, turn on the light, and throw out that which is wrong. Discernment. And the church is so ill today in the world because it's so Bible-less that it's not able to discern what they should embrace or what they should reject. And so churches today in the word or in the term or banner of unity, they think tolerance is some sort of a virtue. And it is actually anathema to God. There can be no unity unless we come to the agreement of God's word. We are to be unified in this thing. God's word is the authority. Do you understand that? No, let's just unify. Let's just be together. You can't do that. You can't do that. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they are in agreement? And it's Bible doctrine that brings us to that place of agreement. Now, there's a lot of things you will hear about this morning about, I believe in God, I go to church, I'm a spiritual person, I own a Bible, I worship Jesus, I know God. None of those things answer anything. There can be imposters, and there are imposters to all of those things. So my challenge to you this morning is, how do you know you're worshiping the right Jesus? How do you know this morning you have the right gospel? How do you know? Listen, I'm going to look. Are you awake? I know it's first service. Are you awake? If I were to come to you privately and ask you, hey, did you hear today's message? Yep. So tell me. How do you know, if I ask you, how do you know if you have the right gospel? If you cannot answer me, you probably do not have the right gospel. If you cannot give a defense for what you claim to believe, then how do you know that you believe it? And believe what? If I ask you, do you believe in the biblical Jesus? And you say yes, and I say then, here, show me why that's true. If you cannot do that, you may not know the right Jesus. If I ask you to define to me who is the Holy Spirit, what are His attributes? What is His personality like? If you cannot answer that question, you may not have the Holy Spirit. You see, Pastor, I don't like what you're saying. That's exactly the point of this message today. I'd rather have you get thinking today and land on the right side of these questions than to go on with the rest of your spiritual existence and miss the truth. Are you with me now? So look with me, verse 4. It says, for if he who comes preaches another, Jesus, whom we have not preached. So the point this in closing is stronger faith, spiritual discernment. Mark this down. The first thing we are asked to do is identify the counterfeit. Paul introduces us to the fact that there are counterfeit Jesuses that are out there. Look what he says. If he who comes preaches, circle the word another. This is shocking. Paul says there's a Jesus out there, but the word another means this, allos in Greek, and it means someone else. It's a different Jesus. It's a replacement Jesus. The word means it's a Jesus other than the real Jesus. Wow. Listen to this. Is this the Jesus you know? I'll just read it to you. I'm going to do a little montage with you. It's Acts 4. It's 1 Timothy 2. And Philippians 2. Is this the Jesus you know? Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess, listen, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Listen, the Bible says Jesus Christ is Lord. The cults cannot say that. If they say those words at your doorstep, they do not mean the same words that you understand. Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says every knee will bow to Him and acknowledge to the glory of God that He is the Christ. And there's no salvation. It is impossible to be saved without this Jesus. It is that critical. It is that urgent. And so if you're following today a different Jesus, you have no assurance of salvation, you have no entrance into heaven, and you have no hope. The Corinthian believers were being swayed or pulled away from the simplicity that was in Christ, meaning that they were to put their faith in Jesus and the finished work of Christ and trust in Him alone for their salvation. But they were being pulled off that course by legalism, by works, to earn some form of merit or heaven. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, jot it down if you would. Colossians 2, 8 says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Strong words. We learn to identify counterfeits, listen, by knowing the truth. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you what? Free from being deceived. Free from accepting counterfeits. The Bible encourages us to know what's true and what is false. So the question is this. Who is the biblical Christ? Who is the biblical Jesus? I want to give you some things, and I want to be methodical. By the way, get your pen ready. And you're probably going to miss a bunch of these, but you can get the tape or listen online or whatever. The biblical Jesus. Now look, if you're here today, if you are a Jehovah's Witness, if you're a Buddhist, if you're a Hindu today, if you're a Muslim, if you're a Jew today, if you're a Mormon today, listen carefully. Listen carefully to this. I'm talking about the biblical Jesus. The biblical Jesus is the Creator God of the Bible. Did you know that? The biblical Jesus is Lord. The Bible says there's no other. The biblical Jesus is God's only Son. That's right. Listen, all of those cults say God does not have a son. Not in the biblical sense. The biblical Jesus, the Bible says, is eternal. Is that the Jesus you know? Is your Jesus eternal? The Bible says that the biblical Jesus is God incarnate. Is that the Jesus you know? The biblical Jesus alone is salvation. What do we know about the biblical Jesus and who is He? The Bible says that the biblical Jesus, listen, had to be prophesied of in the Old Testament from cover to cover. Is that the Jesus you know? The biblical Jesus was conceived of God by the Holy Spirit. Is that the Jesus you know? The biblical Jesus had to be born of a virgin, says the Old Testament. He had to be born in Bethlehem. The biblical Jesus had to reside in Nazareth. The biblical Jesus had to preach and teach and display the kingdom of God in power. Is that the biblical Jesus you know? The biblical Jesus had to be the Old Testament fulfillment of its requirements. the biblical Jesus had to satisfy the righteousness of God. Is this the biblical Jesus you know? So listen, that was just warm up. Are you ready? That was just warm up. We're going to go down this, put your eyes to the screen, get your pen ready, and we're going to look at who is this biblical Jesus. I hope you're excited about this. I was so excited, I could hardly sleep this night. I couldn't wait. Guys, throw it up on the screen. First slide. Who is the biblical Jesus? Is this the one you know personally? Revelation 1, 7 and 8 says that Jesus is the Almighty. Genesis 17, 1 says the Almighty is God. Next, the Bible says John 8, 58, Jesus says that He is the I Am, Ego Eimi, the eternal God. Exodus 3, 14 says the I Am is God. Next, Acts 3, 14 says that Jesus is the Holy One. But Isaiah 43, 15 says the Holy One is God. Next, John 8, 24 says that Jesus is the I Am He. And Isaiah 43, 10 says that the I Am He is God. Next one. Revelation 22, 13 says that Jesus is the first and the last. And Isaiah 44, 6 says that the first and the last is God. That is awesome. Next slide. 1 Corinthians 10, 4 says that Jesus is the rock, and Psalm 18, 31 says the rock is God. Next. John 5, 21 says that Jesus rises from the dead, and 1 Samuel 2, 6 says that God raises the dead. John 8, 12 says that Jesus is the light. Isaiah 60, 19 and 20 says that God is the light. Next. Matthew 25, 31 to 46 says that Jesus is the judge. And Joel 3, 12 says that God is judge. Next slide. Colossians 1, 16 says that Jesus is the creator of angels. And Psalm 148, verse 5 says the creator of angels is God. Hebrews 1, 6 says that angels worship Jesus. And Psalm 148, 2 says that angels worship God. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 says that Jesus is the one husband. And Jeremiah 31, 32 says the one husband is God. Matthew 23, 8 says that Jesus is the one master. And Malachi 1, 6 says that the one master is God. John 10, 16 says that Jesus is the one shepherd. But Isaiah 40, 11 says the one shepherd is God. Acts 4, 12 says that Jesus is the one Savior. And Isaiah 45, 21 says the one Savior is God. Luke 1, 68 says that Jesus is the one Redeemer. And Isaiah 41, 14 says the one Redeemer is God. Revelation 19, 16 says that Jesus is the Lord of Lords. And Deuteronomy 10, 17 says the Lord of Lords is God. Philippians 2, 10 says that every knee must bow to Jesus, and Isaiah 43, 23 says that every knee must bow to God. John 1, 3 through 10 says that Jesus is the one creator, and Genesis 1, 1 says the creator is God. John 1, 49 says that Jesus is the King of Israel, and Isaiah 44, 6 says that the King of Israel is God. I just want you to thank God for sending Jesus. In all of these passages, the Bible says that there is only one Alpha and the Omega, that there is only one God, there is only one Savior. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation says that there's only one Redeemer. The Bible says there's only one God. Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, revealed Himself to us in human form in Jesus Christ. And Satan has had a plan to thwart that ever since. And so he floods the market with counterfeits. Those few verses I gave you supporting the deity of Jesus Christ, if you do not hold to these verses, then you've got a different Jesus. And that's a serious statement. I understand that. But it's 100% biblical. It's the biblical Christ, and it's the one we're talking about today. The next thing we see in verse 4 is that with this mind, stronger faith breeds spiritual discernment, is that we need to be resisting the world. The Bible tells us that there's a spirit that is out afoot in this world, and is it a spirit to deceive? It says, or if you receive or allow a different spirit which you have not received. Be warned. Paul is warning them. The word spirit here is heteros, and it means a false or aberrant, sinful influence. It means a foreign or strange spirit. Listen to this. This is going to get touchy here in a moment. It means something that is in manifestation of, but not the same as. The manifestation of, but not the same as. What does that mean? It means that there's a spirit that will traffic among people in religious settings. And that's a broad statement, religious settings. That is permeating a gathering. And it's as though a spirit, imagine for a moment if you could see a dark cloud moving through the pews or the chairs here today, and it's just going right under your nose, as it were, and it would be inhaled in, like you'd smell, maybe you're smelling someone's perfume or cologne next to you right now, and it'd be like that. It comes and it gets inside, and it begins to impart thoughts and temptations of thinking, other thoughts that are not Christian, other thoughts that are not biblical, things that would pull you, very convincing, very powerful, mind you. Makes a lot of sense in the way of the world. It just makes sense. And you know, it just seems right to me. Listen, did you hear what I just said? It just seems right to me. That's a form of deception. But I feel like this is what I should do. Have you heard this before? As a pastor, I shudder when I hear this. Pastor Jack, I know, you know what? I know what the Bible says, but I feel that God is leading me to leave my wife. That is not God. That is a deceiving, aberrant spirit. That is a demonic deception. Well, I feel, you know, my husband's never, he's never made me happy. He's never fulfilled all of my desires. And I've met a man, and I had someone tell me this, truly, don't tell me God doesn't want me happy. Listen, are you ready for this? I love all of you, but God doesn't want us happy. He wants us holy. And when you're holy, you'll be happy. And you think you're going to be happy violating God's will, listening to an aberrant spirit that leads you astray? Listen, have you noticed? All of us have noticed this. Satan and the spirit of this world will come to us and say, hey, go ahead, do this, do that, go there, go here. It's okay. God will forgive you. He's merciful. He's forgiving. And if you let that thought go or you cross that line, what's his next comment? God will never forgive you. You call yourself a Christian? You're condemned, you loser. God's... Sound familiar? A deceiving spirit. Paul said, watch out. There are other Jesuses out there that are being preached. They're being brought to your doorstep. They're being proclaimed in religions. The names of Jesus written in religious writings, and they are not the biblical Jesus. Why? Because there is a spirit in the world that is out there to deceive. And if you do not know your Bible, you are going to have a emotionally based theology rather than a biblically based theology. A biblically based theology should tell my feelings to sit down. Because my feelings, well, I want to do this, and I want to do, and my Bible, listen, the Holy Spirit will speak to me using the Word of God. All of us go through this. How do we bring our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions under control? By God's Word. Resisting the world is a constant effort. What's implied here is a spiritual influence. Now hang on to your seats. This is a warning against what we see again sweeping in the church. I saw it about 30 years ago and it's back. And that is spirituality. That's a buzzword today. You meet a lot of young people today, they're spiritual. Spiritual. I'm really into spirituality. Have you ever seen this sticker, which cracks me up? I don't know if you know this or not, but have you seen the sticker Coexist? That is, you predominantly see that sticker around San Francisco, Napa, Laguna, Newport. And if you were to ask the people, hey, can you tell me what that means? I just think we should all get along. I'll give you some homework. Find out who produced and sells that bumper sticker. you're going to be shocked. It's a certain religious group that is absolutely antagonistic to all of those that are represented on that sticker. I think they laugh every time they see it. Let's just coexist. Let's just all get along. Doesn't that sound nice? Who doesn't want to all get along? But until the Prince of Peace returns, it ain't going to happen. Because you know what? There are doctrines out there of evil spirits that are pitting those who don't want anything to do with Jesus, the real Jesus. They don't want anything to do with God, the Bible, God of the Bible. They don't want anything to do with truth. Listen, I'm sorry to tell you this, but we just can't get along. Well, can't we just have an interfaith prayer meeting? Look, if you're attending an interfaith prayer meeting, you're wasting your time. When you gather people together of different faiths who worship different Jesuses and different gods, and you're praying, then you're no different than what the Old Testament warned, that God said, don't you ever mix my temple and my worship with the pagan gods of the unbelievers. And we get invitations all the time, come and pray. And the religions that are coming to the prayer meeting know not God. And I'm forbidden to go. God will not allow me to go. It's a different spirit. And Paul's warning the church at Corinth, don't do that. Remember that discernment is to set apart, is to separate, to judge. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul speaks to Timothy and he says, and that from childhood you have known, that's key, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. There's the word discerning, for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. My dear friends, that's an awesome verse to memorize. 2 Timothy 3:15. It is the Bible that gives you wisdom on to know what to do and what not to do. To who to worship, who not to worship. Hebrews 5:14. It's quiet in here. You guys okay? Yeah. Hebrews 5:14 says, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is spiritually mature, that is those who by reason of use, in other words, the Bible is active in their lives, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, truth from error. Tragically, the lack of this is what's behind what I consider today a false church movement. I believe there's a false church movement in America, for that matter, in the world. And there are people, they've got Bibles, and it's cool music, cool stage, cool presentation, no mention of sin, no mention of the cross, no mention of repentance, no mention of lamenting over the fact that you and I have sinned against the Holy God, that we are condemned to hell without Christ, that He came to set us free because the love of God put Jesus on the cross that we might be freed. And it's not some recreational belief. It is heaven or hell. It is life or death. Well, man, that's intolerant. That's what the world says. And that's what those false movements are saying. Sin apparently is so bad that no good human could have died to take our place. Apparently, sin is so bad that no angel could die in our place. Clearly, sin is so bad that God Himself and alone could appease the demands of righteousness. It had to be the righteousness of Christ dying for the hideousness of my sin to set me free. And to some that offends them, and to some boneheads like me, it delights my soul. Jesus died for me. That's the biblical Jesus. Jude 1 verse 4 in the New Living Translation says, Jude 1 4 says, I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Strong word, huh? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Watch this. Number one, giving heed, that is, to grant attention to deceiving spirits. Wow. And two, doctrines of demons, that is, teachings, instructions to give audience regarding doctrines of demons. Isn't it amazing that according to the Bible, there's the Holy Spirit who's doing the warning, and there are deceiving spirits doing the undermining, and the source are doctrines of demons, demonic activity. So who is behind the undermining of biblical authority? Doctrines of demons, Satan. Who is behind the redefinition of marriage? Did you know that? Redefinition of marriage is not a political issue. It never was. Who invented marriage, ladies and gentlemen? Where do you find that in? Genesis chapter 1. The culture wants to redefine marriage. Where is the source of that deception? Doctrines of demons. We have to remember that. You can't get upset at people and get ugly and mean at people. They've been deceived by doctrines of demons. Who is behind teaching of the emotionally based theology, the feel? Oh, just feel right now. If you feel this feeling, if you have this burning in your bosom, it must be true. Doctrines of demons. Who's behind the private interpretation of Scripture? What do I mean by that? There'll be those who will come to you and say, God told me and showed me as I was praying through the night. I saw this light emanate. And God told me to tell you that this is what you're supposed to do. The Bible says there is no private interpretation of Scripture. Are you a Christian? Yes. Then let God speak to you. Judge everything according to the Word. By the way, think of this. Who is behind the spirit of lawlessness that's going on in our state and the nation and the world for that matter? Doctrines of demons. Who's behind the explosion and the duplication of false churches? Doctrines of demons. Think of what spirit would be behind the abortion agenda? Have you read your Old Testament? It was the doctrines of demons that were bent on having Israelis and pagans alike sacrifice what? Their children. The only one who wins in that is Satan. Remarkable. Man-made Christianity today, if there's such a thing, says things like this. You can be a Christian adulterer. Now look, you can be an adulterer, but when you come to Christ, I guarantee you one thing. You can be committing adultery the Sunday morning before you go to church, or whenever you hear the gospel, and accept the gospel. And from that moment on, you will not be very successful at being an adulterer after that. You may trip up in your adultery after becoming a Christian, but it will make you vomit. It will make you know. You'll know, God does not want me to do this. I've sinned. And you can go down the list. You cannot be a Christian thief. You can be a thief and then get saved, but you can't be saved and continue to be a thief. I recently heard a pastor of a church say that you can be a Christian sodomite or a Christian homosexual. Books are being written on this topic now. And because of political correctness, people are swallowing it because that's what they want. And the Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says, God says, I can save you from all that. You cannot be, listen, you can be a liar and then come to Christ and be saved. But you can't come to Christ and then continue being a liar. The Holy Spirit will not allow it. And I'm not, look, I have limited time. I have to pick some of these things. What is God saying in your life? You're deceiving yourself if you think, well, you know what? I used to be a drunk. I accepted Jesus Christ and I'm still a drunk and that's just the way that it is. The Holy Spirit is saying no to you. He's saying, I've got a better way for you to live. I've got life for you. Surrender to Him. There's a spirit afoot to destroy and to kill. And I know this is not popular to say, but I must tell you the truth. If somebody dresses it up in spirituality and they've got a church setting and they say, you know what, if it feels good, do it. You know, he who dies with the most toys in Jesus' name wins. It's the survival of the fittest in Jesus' name. No. That is, listen, there was a time when the church was so full of the Holy Spirit and the knowledge of the Word of God that when it was infused into a culture, it so lit up that culture that people either said, away from us, we want nothing to do with you, or there were those who ran to its doors for sanctuary. Do you understand the preaching of the cross divides? It divides. The cross divides. Jesus, poor Jesus, he didn't know how politically incorrect he was being. When he preached about himself going to the cross and the Pharisees attacked him and mocked him, and Jesus said, if you had Abraham as your father, you would understand the words that I'm speaking to you. But you don't have Abraham as your father, he said. You have Satan as your father. And his works you will do. That's pretty radical, don't you think? I've got a feeling today if Jesus showed up and preached these exact same words, half the church would get up and walk out on him. Because so much of a false spirit with a false Jesus has permeated man-made Christianity that things are being allowed and tolerated that, in my opinion, are an absolute abomination to God. And it breaks my heart. 2 John 1:7 warns us. 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Listen, let me keep that verse up there, but let me put it to you this way. Who confess not that Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, is come in the flesh, meaning he pre-existed in his fleshly humanity. He's the eternal Christ. He's the Jesus who is the Messiah. He's the Jesus who has always existed. And he showed up in human flesh. Listen. You cannot find a cult on the planet that adheres to that. Only a Christian adheres to this. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that antichrist shall come, even now there are many antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time or the last days. 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? Wow. I just had some of those people at my door. He is antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Islam denies the Father and the Son. Did you know that? Did you hear me? Islam denies the Father and the Son. Don't let anyone tell you that Islam worships the same God that you and I worship. They do not. Completely opposite. We'll see more of that in a moment. 1 John 4, verse 1. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this we know, or you know, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Mark 13:22. You guys okay? Mark 13:22. Jesus said, "For false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if possible, even the elect." Luke 21:8. Jesus said, "Take heed that you do not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them." Matthew 7:15. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their lifestyle," their fruits, how they live. And then third and finally, we'll go out with a bang. Stronger faith leads to spiritual discernment, and that leads to us exposing the darkness. He says, or a different gospel. This is shocking. A different gospel, which you have not accepted. There's going to be those coming with a different gospel. And Paul says, my great fear is that you guys might very well put up with it. The word is this. There'll be those coming with a different Jesus, by a different spirit, preaching a different gospel. And what scares me to death, Corinthians, is that you'll tolerate them. The word different here is that same word, heteros. It means to be something that is not the original, to be a mutation, something other than that which is real. Listen, Paul ends in verse 4 with a sad rebuke. You may well put up with it. It's an amazing, terrifying sarcasm. Basically, he's saying this: Corinthians, I poured my heart out to you guys. I brought you the real Jesus. And then after I left, these guys came in with a different Jesus, a different spirit, a different gospel. You allowed them to permeate the churches in Greece, undermining everything that's true. And you just put up with them because they're great orators. They're very, very polished speakers. And you were wowed by them coming to town. And you were swayed by the presentation. And you have been tolerant of them. And Paul, listen, Paul would say, you should consider something. You should give the truth the tolerance that you have allowed the false. I can't warn you enough about how this closes. Deception by nature, church, is subtle. And Satan's a master of it. It starts ever so slowly. But God has given you and I the Word of God to discern what is true from what is false, to know the truth. Lack of Bible commitment sets yourself up for deception. And the deception is going to get stronger and greater. Listen. When you want to know something, you go far back as possible to the source. You don't go to things that are new. You go back to the source. And for example, if being nice is how you got into heaven, don't raise your hand, but do you think being nice is how you get into heaven? If being nice is how you get into heaven, then Mormons have got us beat hands down. I know Mormons, and they're sweethearts. I know Mormons that are, their morality is commendable. I have friends who are Mormons. Look, thank God that the Mormons stood in defense of marriage in 2008. Where were the Christians? But when they knock on my door and we start talking about Jesus, They've got to go through all kinds of hoops to stay away from the argument, for example, and the constant changing of their revelations and doctrines. For example, that Lucifer and Jesus of Mormonism are spirit brothers whose ideas were put forth on how to redeem the lost on earth. Jesus put forth his offer, Lucifer put forth his offer, and Adam God accepted Jesus' offer, and Jesus came here, Lucifer's was rejected, and thus he became the devil, and he's been trying to thwart his brother's redemptive plan ever since. That's Mormon doctrine. That ain't my Jesus. Mormon doctrine teaches that if you are a good, faithful temple Mormon, you can achieve godhood. Beware of anyone who says you can become a god. I heard that before somewhere in the Garden of Eden. You can't get to heaven by being nice. You can only get to heaven by having the right Jesus. Listen, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I mentioned it earlier, the Jesus of Islam. The Jesus of Islam is a sinner. The Jesus of Islam is a prophet who worships Muhammad. The Jesus of Islam, listen, I know, I get letters from pastors in this community rebuking me for saying what I just said. And I personally believe that if that's their Jesus, they're lost while they're pastoring the church. Or I should say they're lost while they're in the pulpit. Because that's not the biblical Jesus. The Jesus of Islam doesn't love you. The Jesus of Islam cannot save you. That ain't my Jesus. Listen, friends. I end with this last statement, this last verse. If just a couple of hundred years ago there was no Mormonism, then why would you believe in Mormonism? If just up until about 700 years ago there was no Islam, why would you believe in Islam? When you can go back to the moment God said, in the beginning, and go from your Bible to Genesis to Revelation and meet the same Lord all the way through. Galatians 1, verses 6 through 8, I thank God, is still bright in my Bible. I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, a second testament, which is not another. But there are some that trouble you and would pervert. Metastasize is the word, the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have than that we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so I say now again, if any man preaches any other gospel unto you than what you have received, let him be accursed. No angel, no prophet, no message. Jesus brought you your salvation. Do you know the right Jesus? Let's pray. Father, I ask God that you would descend upon this sanctuary now in power. And Lord, that you would peel back, Lord, any confusion, any darkness, any gray area that's in a heart today, that's in a mind today, that would take these things half-heartedly. That Lord, that they might be here today or listening right now that would say, wait a minute, what do I believe? Who is this Jesus that I cling to? My friend, listen, as we pray, I know our God is able. The question is, are you willing? Are you willing to hear from Him? Right now in your hearts, core, in your mind, can you lift up the Jesus that you know to the light of the Word of God? Is this the Jesus of the Bible? Does He demand everything from you? Does He demand all? Does He demand all worship? Does He demand all attention? Is He the Jesus saying to you, get up, come, and follow me? Is this the Jesus you worship? Is this the Jesus who greets you every waking moment of your life? Who's in your thoughts? Who will not let you get away with the slightest thing? He loves you so much. Do you know this Jesus of the Bible? Right now, right where you're at, you can say to Him, dear Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. I come to You now and I pray that You'd receive me, Lord. I come sin in tow. I come in desperate need. I come, O God, repentful of my wrong, of my lying, of my adultery, of my anger, of my temper, of my lust, of my idolatry, whatever it is. God, I come and I ask You to forgive me. Wash me clean in the blood of Christ. I believe, Jesus, that You died on the cross and rose again from the grave. I give You my life. Take me, Lord. I surrender to You. If you've prayed that prayer today, if that is your heart's desire, will you slip your hand up wherever you're at? Heads bowed, eyes are closed. But did you pray that prayer? Raise your hand high. God bless you on the aisle. Several of you. Quite a few of you, actually. In the back, all over the place. That's awesome. You can put your hands down. Listen, from this moment on, if you meant what you just asked of Him, He heard you. And your life starts now a dramatic change. God will change you now. He'll do it. For those of you who raised your hands, you take up this Bible and you read His love letter to you and watch what great things God will do in your life. If today some of you are still on the fence and you're not sure, I pray that you would be so unsettled in your soul until you surrender to He alone, who is the Prince of Peace, and He'll give you peace. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.